Good morning. Today is Thursday, December 13th, 2012. It's approximately 9 a.m. This is the meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. First item of business is to introduce ourselves. I'm Commissioner Mark Johnson. I'll be conducting this meeting in the stead of Commission Chair Bruce Johnson, who is excused. With me are Commissioners Darcy Dixon and Michael Cragen. Also sitting on the stand with us is Scott Smith, our Assistant Executive Director. Barry Conover, our Executive Director, is also excused today. First item of business is to take public comment. I don't really see anybody. I guess technically our staff is part of the public body, but I'm assuming there's no comments. Seeing none, we'll proceed to the next item of business, which is to approve the minutes of the open and closed special commission meeting held on November 2nd, 2012. Unless there are any comments, I'll take a motion to approve those minutes.
This is Commissioner Dixon, so moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next items of business, three I believe, have to deal with commission administrative rules. I will turn the time over to Commissioner Michael Cragen, who presides over the rule making process. Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you. First thing that we want to look at is the proposed amendment to R8611A, which created a new section 46. We submitted this in August to the Division of Administrative Rules, and it went out to public comment from September 15th to October 15th, and we actually received public comment on this proposed rule. And because of that public comment, we asked the agency to work with the interested parties and come up with some changes, something that everybody could agree on would be workable. So this, we want to formally withdraw this proposal. And that would be the motion that I make, is that we withdraw the proposed amendment to rule R8611A that we submitted to DAR on August 27th, 2012.
Is there any discussion to this motion? Any comments from the public or from the staff? All in favor of the motion put forth by Commissioner Cragen, say aye.
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 Aye. I see none opposed.
Okay, now we have a pile of proposed rules that we want to consider. If we approve these proposals today for publication, they will be submitted to the Division of Administrative Rules, I suspect tomorrow, which means that they will be open for public comment during the month of January, and then at our commission meeting in February, we can consider taking action based upon the public comment. First one is an amendment to rule R8611A section 26, and this is to delete language that has never been enforced. This comes out of the presentation that we received at our November 2nd meeting, where the property tax division pointed out that the rule might be broader than we intended it to be. The way the rule is written, it says that if anybody asks for us to email them information, that they waive all of their rights to confidentiality of their information. I think what we intended the rule to say was that we couldn't guarantee the confidentiality of email traffic while it was in transit. Since then, our email systems have been improved, and we can send encrypted email, and so we felt like the best thing to do was just delete the language. The language that's here is too broad, it's never been enforced, and we don't need replacement language because our system now allows us to send encrypted email. Unless there are questions, I'll just keep moving through the pile. The next proposal is an amendment to Rule R8611A, Section 37. And this also comes out of our presentation that we received last time from the Property Tax Division. There was some lingering question as to how county assessors could use information that they learned in one property tax hearing dealing with confidential information in another property tax hearing. And this this rule amendment attempts to make it clear that as long as there is, for lack of a better term, a chain of custody maintained or a chain of confidentiality maintained, that information obtained in one confidential hearing may be used in another confidential hearing, again, as long as the chain of confidentiality is maintained. So it may be that the property tax owner in the second hearing may be required to sign a non-disclosure agreement, and I believe that that's normal practice as it is. So anyway, this amendment is again in response to the presentation we received at our last meeting. The next one is the new proposed change to Rule R8611A, and this again creates a new Section 46, and this is dealing with sales tax refunds. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we received some public comment. The division and the agency management met with the folks who were interested, and they've worked through some changes that will address the concerns that came out in the public comment. And I believe that they also, the changes are acceptable to the agency and the division. And Mr. Talbot, did you want to make any comments on this?
No, I think other than what you have is a working the private sector with the agency and coming up with a workable solution. So it really solves all the issues.
Well, we appreciate your efforts that you put into that. Ms. Solarzik, anything you need to add? Okay. Any questions on that rule? The next proposed change is to I don't see a number. R8659I, Section 13. This is dealing with pass-through entities, and this is deleting language that has been addressed in statute thanks to the Senate Bill 143 adopted in the 2012 legislative session. And the last one is, again, a deletion of language that comes about because of the adoption of House Bill 75 in the 2012 session of the legislature. And this is dealing with the, it's Rule R88424P, Section 67. And it deals with the valuation of low-income housing tax credits, or low-income housing because of their tax credits. And this deletes language that we had in rule that was recommending to taxpayers when they needed to submit their documentation. That language is now in statute, and I believe that the statute also includes penalties for failure to file on time. So those are the proposed amendments. If there are no questions, I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that we submit the five rule proposals to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah Register.
There's no discussion, no comment, so we'll go ahead and vote on that motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Is it unanimous? All right.
Okay, we've got three rules that have completed the public comment phase. I am not aware that we've received public comment on any of these. Commissioner Dixon, would you like to handle item 5A, or do you want me to do them all?
Thank you, fellow commissioner. Let me just briefly indicate that in terms of R884-24P-53 valuation guides for valuation of land subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, this has been outlined in in the previous commission meeting when I explained how we got these values. We have a farmland committee that meets to consider an independent report from Utah State University. That farmland committee is to recommend, based upon that report, values to the commission to value farmland for the upcoming year. Again, that committee met. They did recommend. Those values were put into this proposed rule. That proposed rule was approved by this commission to go up to administrative rules and post for public comment. To my knowledge, there were no public comments received on those values, and so I recommend that we adopt that rule as published for public comment.
The next item is an amendment to Rule R88424P, Section 66. It adds the words "in writing" to line 37, and this is to just try and be consistent with similar language on line 62 and line 73. Came about just as a clarification of some recent changes that we made to the rule. No public comment that I'm aware of on that proposed change. And then finally, we've got a rule that comes about because of Senate Bill 122 adopted by the legislature in its 2012 general session dealing with urban farming. This will create Section 73 of Rule 88424P based on input from Salt Lake County, which is the only county affected by the statute. It gives guidelines for urban farming assessment. And I'm not aware that we've received any public comment on this rule either. With that, unless there are questions or comment, I'm prepared to make a motion. I'd move that we adopt the three rule amendments as presented.
We have a motion before us. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That makes it unanimous as well. Thank you, Commissioner Cragen.
Do we need a date?
Yes, that's okay. What I'm asking. This is Lynn Solarzik. On R88424P73, I just wanted to raise it, and you can, just so that you know you're making a decision purposefully. This is for a bill that becomes effective on January 1, 2013, and I'm wondering if we need to say that this rule will become effective on that date, or if it's, since the rule is tagged to statutory language that doesn't become effective until then, are we comfortable just letting it go with the effective date that will go on it, which will be tomorrow, I believe?
Let me see if I'm understanding. You're indicating that the statute will go into effect before we can have a chance to put the rule into effect.
No, I'm indicating that unless we do something, the rule will go into effect before the underlying statute goes into effect.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that that's a problem, but does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand the question. I think we got a couple of options. We could just wait until after January 1st to actually submit it to DAR and make it effective. But since we haven't had any intervening business, why don't we just adjust the record to indicate that the motion is that we adopt the three administrative rules as presented and that R88424P73 has an effective date of January 1st, 2013. If that's okay with everybody, we can just adjust the record.
That's fine with me, but so we're not just considering to approve the proposed amendments. This will become a rule. Okay.
Yeah. Under item five, we're amending the administrative rules. Under item four, we're approving submission of proposed changes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Do you think we need to withdraw the prior motion or just go ahead and do a substitute?
Because we haven't had any intervening business, I think we can just adjust the record to make it reflect what we need.
That'd
long
be
as
great.
That's okay with everybody who voted on the motion.
Yeah, I think it's fine myself.
Okay. And I'll help Katie make sure that happens.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Larzik. All right. I think that's the end of the the rules for today. Next item on the agenda is the acceptance of internal audit reports. I will turn the time over to Commissioner Dixon, who presides over our audit staff.
Okay, Mr. Cadilla, could you just come up to the table here? We have with us today Mr. Amon Cadilla, who is our Director of Internal Audit for the State Tax Commission. You have, as commissioners, two internal audit reports. And just for the public record, the internal audits are confidential documents, and so the audit reports themselves are not available to the public, but we, as a public body, try to accept these internal audits into the public record, just to note that they've taken place and to try to answer some general questions that commissioners or other might have. Mr. Cadilla is here to answer any general questions that you might have. Let me just make sure. On the agenda, it says that one internal audit report is an analysis of the processing of payments and returns during the income tax season, this last income tax season. And the second one is an internal audit report and just looking at a function of a unit inside the operations of the State Tax Commission. So, Mr. Cadilla, do you have any, I believe that my fellow commissioners have all had an opportunity to look at these. Do you have any statements in general that you'd like to make, or do you just want to wait to see if there's any questions?
I'll just wait till if there's any questions, you know.
And do we have any comments or questions from commissioners?
Just a couple of questions, Commissioner Dixon. Item A is described as a report, and item B is an internal audit with a report number assigned to it. What's the difference between the two?
Okay. That report is just an analysis. It's not an audit. We do. So that's why.
Okay, I understand. And then, Commissioner Dixon, did you prefer not to read into the record the title of Audit Report 2012-03?
Oh, it's about that property tax thing?
Right. It has been our practice in the past to read them in. So I'm happy to do that. I was going off of the agenda as it was written, okay.
Thought that was a little odd. Maybe when you make your motion, you could just include the title.
Okay, I'm happy to do so.
That's all I have, thanks.
All right, do we have any comments from staff on the reports, to those who might have observed them? I'd like to say once again that I certainly appreciate the work of Amon and his non-staff. He's been working on his own, and we certainly, whether he has staff or not, appreciate his efforts and his fine work in the internal audit program.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Okay. Do you have a motion, Commissioner Dixon?
I do. I move that we accept the report and analysis of processing of payments and returns during the income tax season of 2012. And that we accept the internal audit report number 2012-03, which is an internal audit of the 2011 county compliance audit reports.
We have a motion before us. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And if you'll remain on the
thank you
stand
very much.
There. Next item is, Commissioner Dixon.
Great, thank you. We also have a practice of accepting an internal audit plan for the upcoming calendar year. This outlines, you have before you one for the calendar year 2013. It outlines the number of hours available for the internal auditor to perform audits, and outlines the functions and goals of the internal audit program and in trying to determine how to use those hours. And in preparing this, the internal auditor reaches out to our executive director of operations and to those divisions and asks if there's any area or function where they think the division heads would like a review to assure that they're protecting and managing and conducting the public's business in the most efficient and effective way. You'll note that in the internal audit plan for 2013, some of the audit requests came from executive management, some came from division management, some came from the commission itself, and others were requests or functions of the internal audit, continuous work. So this is before you to see if you have any comments, questions, concerns. It should also be noted that this is a plan. It's flexible. It's meant to be adjusted as needed during the year. And Mr. Cadilla has noted that it may be adjusted as the internal audit looks to hire another auditor to come in and bring the internal audit unit back up to its prior full staffing capacity. So with that, if you have any, Mr. Cadilla, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm just, you know, want to tell the commission that I'm trying to use to the best of my experience and time to complete these audits, but there are a few other audits which I would like to do, but because of the time constraint and the staff, it won't be possible to complete those, but I hope to get additional staff, the sooner the better, and then I will try to, you know, add a few more audits to it. But even hiring a new person, there is that learning curve which has to go, so please, you know, bear with me, and I really appreciate your comments and trust in me. That's all I need to add.
Thank you. With that, I'm ready to make a motion if there's no questions. Okay. I move acceptance of the proposed 2013 internal audit plan.
We have a motion before us, and before we take the vote, I just like to comment again that even with if you had full staff, this looks like a pretty substantive load, so we once again appreciate your efforts.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
And with that, we'll take a vote. All in favor of accepting the proposed 2013 internal audit plan, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That makes it unanimous as well.
Thank you very
much,
sir.
Mr. Cadilla.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is our executive director, or in this case, assistant executive director's report. Do you have anything for us, Scott?
Just a couple items. Last week, we had a successful assessor school, and we'd like to thank the property tax division for putting that on and keeping the counties, training the counties, and making sure they're up to speed on the knowledge and what they need to do there. As far as our systems, our motor vehicle system, we have completed the requirement gathering phase, and everything's on track to go to have the rollout on October 15th of next year. We were, during that assessor school, we were able to give a demo on the motor vehicle system to the counties, since they're our partner in the motor vehicle arena, and so we received positive feedback from them. On the tax side, we rolled out our income tax system for this upcoming year. Everything went smoothly there. As far as electronic filing, we will turn on the ability to file corporate and partnership returns on January 3rd. That coincides when the IRS will turn theirs on. And then for income tax, We'll turn that on January 26th or 22nd. And that also coincides when the IRS will turn theirs on. And that that is a Tuesday, the Tuesday after Human Rights Day.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith, and appreciate the efforts of the divisions on all of these things. It's a good organization that's being run. I might comment as well on the assessor's school, which I thought was particularly well done. And more specifically, I thought the commissioners' meetings with the assessors went really well. I thought there was a lot of productive exchange there, and meaningful and substantial exchange. So I appreciate your handling that, Denny. Thank you, Scott. Anything from the commissioners to report?
I had one thing. I just noted that this week the auditing division played host to the Multi-State Tax Commission Nexus School. And I think we had over 20 people from the agency participate in the Nexus School, including three of the commissioners who were there at least some of both days of that presentation. It was very, very interesting training.
Good. Presumably we had some kind of learning nexus take place there. So thank you for that. Anything else from the commissioners?
I do. It's Commissioner Dixon. Just wanted to note for the record that this is the last commission meeting for our fellow Commissioner Mark Johnson conducting our meeting today, and I just have a couple of things I'd like to say. I note that your retirement party shindig is next Monday.
That's what I've been told. You're all invited, by the way.
Yeah, and I just need to tell you, I at this point there's high probability I won't be able to make it to your soiree, and I apologize for that. I have had something on my calendar for months now, and there was a conflict. But so I thought I'd just take this opportunity to just say a couple of things that at least it will be recorded for all time and eternity.
I'm sure generations to come will look forward to reading it.
It's interesting to note that my fellow commissioner and I, Mark Johnson, we go all the way back to the 1900s when we
early
1900s when we first met and worked together, which was somewhat of an unusual situation. I mean, I don't know that either one of us quite remembers how we met, but it was probably, I noticed that he was just a new figure in the hallway and walked up and introduced myself, which was still remained kind of my mode of operandi. Oh, I don't know you. Let me meet you. But ironically enough, I mean, it turned into a really nice working relationship where we talked a lot and helped each other a lot in that capacity. And then years later, here we were working together again. He had a great reputation even then of really thinking outside of the box and looking at all perspectives and considering all the information. He set up the Board of Equalization functions at Salt Lake County, and it was a whole new program and did a great job with it. So years later, we fast forward from our time together at Salt Lake County, and here we are, tax commissioners together, and my earliest first memory is our very first hearing together, a formal hearing on a centrally assessed case. And I hadn't really been aware that when you do these huge centrally assessed hearings, and it was huge, they give you each about 9 binders. I mean, they're about 9 inches tall, and I mean, they just stack almost to the ceiling. And you're on this bench with 5 of you, 4 commissioners and the ALJ, and the parties are going back and forth between binder and binder and exhibits and exhibits. And my fellow commissioner sat right next to me, and I couldn't keep track of the binders. And finally, I had him spread almost all the way down to him, and he was pushing further and further towards the ALJ, and I practically pushed him out of a spot, and I had him on the floor, and I brought up chairs, and I laid him on the chairs. And I had papers everywhere, and he was down to about 12 inches of space with one careened into one little area, and he was very patient with me and didn't push my binders back or tell me that I should control my paperwork better, but was very patient, and I definitely appreciated it. But one of the items I've noticed about my fellow Commissioner Mark Johnson is that he came into this with a great knowledge of property tax, and I've often called
him.
Denny. What's that?
Hear that, Denny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
you can make one afterwards.
He is a licensed appraiser in commercial, and he has spent a lifetime career in the property tax arena. But he also set out to learn all the other tax types that we did, and said he did diagrams and studied sales tax and really looked at all the tax types. I've often called them the Yoda of property tax, and it's going to be hard to see the Yoda go.
Thank you.
Well,
we've got some agreement.
But he really did try to, and I think did, become accomplished in many tax types beyond property tax. But most of all, Commissioner Mark Johnson's just been a friend of the taxpayer. And I mean that in the larger sense and the smaller sense. In the larger sense, he always looks to find the right value so that everyone is paying their fair share, that no one escapes trying to pay their fair share. And so he's always looking for that. In the smaller sense, he's always looking to understand the perspective of the individual taxpayer coming to appeal before the commission. He's always urging us to look at the facts and consider what the taxpayer is saying. And so I think every time we've deliberated, he's tried to put us in a perspective that makes sure we're considering all the facts before us. And I've just really appreciated that in deliberations. Everything is worthy of being considered. And from that, my fellow commissioner is always known for several sayings that he'll say to give us guidance, and there's multiple ones that I've kept track of over the years written down. But the one I remember the most is never give in to a nice person. Meaning, you know, just because they seem nice and smile a lot, you got to get down and just look at the facts and try to understand exactly the information before you. So I really have appreciated being able to work with Mark Johnson twice in my career, and it'll be hard to walk in after the new year and see an empty office there, but it won't be the last time we see you. It will just be the last time we have an opportunity to work with you in this particular capacity. But
thank you.
I commend you for all your great service to the public over the years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And if you could print that out, Katie, I'd like to have it read at my retirement party, because I think that may be the only nice thing that's said about me. I'm not used to hearing those things. I truly appreciate it. I do have to share one story that I remember Darcy describing when I first got to the county. I was temporarily housed with a department that she worked for, Administrative Services, and she said that there were all these little, kind of inner battles going on between various factions within Administrative Services, and she described it, the image was people, wielding knives and those little round bombs with fuses lit and, just going after each other. And then I, the newcomer on the block, would open the door to the larger office and walk in, and all of a sudden everybody would stop fighting, and I'd walk through and they'd just be staring like, huh? Go into my office, shut the door, and then the fighting would all start again. What's going on here? Anyway, that's an image right when I first met her, and it's always stuck with me. So thank you.
Well, thank you for remembering something.
It's mutual. Now I kept track of your sayings too.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again. And with that, unless there's any other discussion on any other items that need to be brought before the commission, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move that everyone drive safely and have a happy holiday, and that we adjourn this last commission meeting of 2012.
Okay, adjourned. Do we don't take a vote on that?
All right.